Please call time certain items 65 and 66 together, please.
Item 65, amend the introduction, modal plans, implementation strategies, and glossary chapters of the 2035 Transportation System Plan. And 66, amend the 2035 Transportation System Plan and the 2035 Comprehensive Plan in compliance with the Regional Transportation Plan. Adopt findings of compliance.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. The Transportation System Plan is a 20-year plan that provides guidance for how we will get around in a growing city. To do this well, it can't be a static plan. It must be regularly updated based on facts and sound analysis. This is especially important as we continue to face a climate crisis and to overcome historic inequities in transportation investments. We must have both a sense of urgency to move quickly and to have a long-range vision for what we're trying to achieve. This update incorporates the planning that has been done since the adoption of the 2035 TSP. It brings in recommendations from PED-PDX, the Growing Transit Communities Plan, and the Enhanced Transit Corridors Plan. These recommendations represent the aspirations of the community and the hundreds of hours of time community members spent working on developing on the development of these plans. The update also supports the 2040 Regional Transportation Plan, which Metro passed in 2018, and maintains compliance with this important regional plan. All of these updates are considered minor and technical. Moving forward, PBOT will be reviewing the TSP on a biannual basis, so there will be plenty of opportunity for people to engage on that larger conversation starting very soon. Before I invite staff to present on this item, I'd like to offer two amendments. Amendment number one, include the new projects and project amendments from Southwest in Motion and Building Healthy Connected Communities along the Division Transit Corridor Plan as listed in the Amendment 1 table. The justification for this amendment is that in December 2019, Council passed the resolution, passed by resolution, the Southwest in Motion Plan and the Building Healthy Connected Communities along the... Could someone have come up with a longer title for that, by the way?
No.
Along the Division Transit Corridor Report, both plans included recommended projects to be included on the TSP major projects list. Because of timing and scheduling, the projects weren't considered by the PSC in November as part of this TSP update. Since these plans have been adopted by Council, it makes administrative sense to include these recommendations as part of this update. Amendment number two is to remove the proposed major city walkway pedestrian classification for the entirety of the private Southwest Campus Drive from Southwest Sam Jackson Park Road to Southwest Terwilliger Boulevard. The entirety of the private Southwest Campus Drive from Southwest Sam Jackson Park Road to Southwest Terwilliger Boulevard shall not have a pedestrian classification. The justification for this is that Southwest Campus Drive is a private street that goes through the OHSU campus. As part of PED-PDX, it was recommended to have a major city walkway pedestrian classification, and that is the proposed designation that is included in this TSP update. PED-PDX tried to avoid placing classifications on private streets, since it is a private street, and to be consistent with the approach taken in PED-PDX, it should not have a pedestrian classification.
I'll second both, and we'll keep them open and listen if there's any testimony on these items.
Great, thanks. Now I'd like to invite Eric Hess and Bob Kellett from PBOT to provide overview of the TSP update. And hopefully I won't have to say Terwilliger again today.
I hope I can avoid it as well.
And before you yes. jump in, Commissioner, just to be clear, are both amendments related to the resolution or to the ordinance?
These would both be for the ordinance.
Both related to the ordinance. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Eric Hesse, for the record. I manage our policy section of our planning division at the Bureau of Transportation. We're responsible for the maintenance and update of this plan, so we very much appreciate the opportunity to bring this to you today after engaging with our community members and a number of our other bureaus on this work to do this minor technical update. I appreciate also the Commissioner's note of us moving to a more frequent cycle so that we can continue to engage as the city obviously rapidly evolves, and we need to continue to update our transportation transportation system accordingly. So we look forward to doing that. I really appreciate Bob Kellett on our staff, who's been the project manager for this update and has been very thoughtful about building that ongoing cycle into the future. So we look forward to engaging with you on that and what will be a more significant policy refresh moving forward.
Right.
Thank you.
Good idea.
I'll turn to Bob to present the summary information.
Thank you, Eric. Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, my name is Bob Kellett. I'm a planner with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Eric has provided a little bit of context about the update today, and I will provide a brief overview of the substance of what is being updated. So just as a bit of background where how we got here today, the 2035 Transportation System Plan was adopted by City Council in three stages between December 2016 and May 2018. It became effective in June 2018. The first two stages of that update were part of the state periodic review of the 2035 Comprehensive Plan. So the TSP is the state mandated transportation element of the Comprehensive Plan. This update, as we've mentioned, is technical, administrative in nature, and it only amends a small portion of what you all adopted in the 2035 Transportation System Plan. This update has followed a legislative process, first with a discussion draft that was open for public comment, followed by a proposed draft, also with public comment. The Planning and Sustainability Commission held a hearing on November 19th and voted on the recommended draft that is before you today. Why are we amending the 2035 TSP? The reason why is that a number of the plans and projects that serve as inputs into the transportation system plan have been adopted since the adoption of the TSP. These include PED-PDX, which you all adopted in June 2019 as the city's new master pedestrian master plan, the Enhanced Transit Corridors Plan, which was adopted by Council in June 2018, which is a plan that's looking to improve the speed and reliability of transit in our city, and then there's the Growing Transit Communities Plan, which was adopted in September 2017, and that's a plan that looked at increasing and improving access to transit in three corridors in East Portland. And then finally, there's the regional plan, the 2040 Regional Transportation Plan, which was adopted by Metro Council in December of 2018. And the Regional Transportation Plan is kind of the region's transportation system plan, and the TSP has to maintain consistency. And so as part of this update, we'll be maintaining consistency with what was adopted by Metro Council in December 2018. And all of these actions also help to further implement the comprehensive plan, just another layer of planning that the transportation system plan is part of. So what are we changing? This falls into four categories, and I'll go through each of them: the policies, classifications, major projects, and the supporting chapters of the TSP. First, with the policies, we're proposing minor changes to a handful of existing TSP policies, including an edit to our policy 9.22, which is related to public transportation. This comes from a recommendation from the Enhanced Transit Corridors Plan. We have a couple of housekeeping corrections that we're adjusting for policy 9.49, as well as our community involvement objectives. And then we're broadening policies 9.68 and 9.69.
One moment. Commissioner Hardesty.
Excuse me, could you give us a one-sentence description of what's being updated as as it relates to each of these policy areas?
Sure. So the policy 9.22, public transportation, it's essentially adding language that says that for trips that are 3 miles or longer, we want to be able to prioritize public transportation in that regard. We want to try to make it easier for people to get longer trips.
So that is a good thing to have on the public record.
Yes.
Thank you.
Policy 9.49, we adopted, it's a performance standards that we do to measure vehicle delay. And so we adopted as part of the transportation system plan, but it didn't, the table that was adopted was not part of the comprehensive plan. So it's just bringing that into alignment. The community involvement objectives, as part of the update to the comprehensive plan, we got rid of the term objectives and made them sub-policies, and so that's what we're doing with that housekeeping. And then policies 9.68 and 9.69 are related to kind of the future, connected autonomous vehicles, and so we are trying to get ahead of what we anticipate is going to be coming out on the roads. In the interim, of course, we've seen new technologies like e-scooters and other things that are emerging, and so we're trying to broaden that policy so that we can at least have the broader framework of how we want to address emerging technologies.
Thank you. That was very helpful for me.
Great.
Hopefully for the public as well.
Yes, and please stop me. I know this is often very technical, so I'm happy to take a breath and pause. Next up are classifications. So the classifications describe kind of how the road or a corridor is used today as well as in the future. So the proposed changes from this update, we're bringing in the proposed pedestrian classifications and descriptions as they were recommended in PED PDX. We're changing some bicycle classifications. We have two layers of bicycle classifications. One is a city bikeway. The next is a major city bikeway. And so we're changing for portions of four existing bikeways, the 20s bikeway, the 50s bikeway, Southeast Foster, as well as Northeast and Southeast 148th. And so we're doing that because in the regional transportation system plan, or regional transportation plan, the classifications are a little bit off. And then finally, we're also proposing changing the bicycle classification on Sandy Boulevard. And then finally, in the process of doing this update, of course, we've discovered some technical errors, so we're correcting for mapping errors for the bicycle emergency response and design classifications. We want to thank various bureaus for pointing those out to us. We work closely with the Fire Bureau, Bureau of Planning Sustainability, so we're making sure that our policy direction is the same as what they are trying to accomplish. The TSP has a list of major projects that will help us accommodate the growth for the next 20 years in the city. And so through this update, we are amending a subset of the existing policies as recommended from the plans that I mentioned earlier, as well as adding some new projects to our financially unconstrained list as recommended through the projects from growing transit communities, enhanced transit corridors, and the 2040 regional transportation plan. So all of these projects, as we develop a TSP list, we put it through a methodology where we evaluate for equity, safety, health, environment, access, cost, and economic benefits. And so we've done that with these projects and feel comfortable adding them to our list based on our evaluations. The final bit that we're changing, and this is part of the resolution, is changing the supporting chapters of the TSP. These are not officially part of the comprehensive plan, but they help to explain what the TSP is and how we implement it and what we're going to go forward with. And so we're updating those to improve the readability, clarity. We're shortening it, so we recognize this is a big, lengthy document that's not always very accessible. So every time that we update, we want to make it more accessible, shorter, easier to understand. And so that's our intention here. I really want to thank everybody along the way who's provided feedback and comment. We've gotten some really good feedback from community members. I know it's not always easy to access a document like this. I want to thank people who showed up today to testify as well, because it really is valuable to hear from community members what we can do to make things better. And also the members who contributed to plans like PED PDX. It's a lot of community time spent on these plans, and I really do value what they've done to help us to get to where we are today. So some of the things you may hear today, we've heard as well. We've heard discussions about the bicycle classification on Sandy Boulevard. That was something that was came up at the Planning and Sustainability Commission, and we have Commissioner Chris Smith here today. He can talk a little bit about that. You might hear about how some of the pedestrian classifications will be implemented moving forward. And then there are some, we've had conversations about projects that are currently in the TSP, like the Red Electric Trail, the Green Loop, and then some along what Commissioner Udaly did with her amendment, the Southwest in Motion planning projects as well. So what we'll be asking is the ordinance is the components of the comprehensive plan, and then the resolution is the TSP's supporting sections. So today you're going to hear testimony, and you heard the amendments, offer any other amendments, and then we would anticipate a second reading and a final vote on February 5th. So with that, I just want to close by thanking a lot of people, because even though this is a minor technical update, it takes a big effort. First, I want to thank my colleagues at PBOT. We have an excellent team that has worked really hard on for many years to do this. I also want to thank the staff at other bureaus for their collaboration, including the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, who are excellent partners in this. Parks Bureau, we've had great conversations, BDS, Fire, many others, as well as our regional partners at Metro, TriMet, and ODOT. They've all been very helpful as we've moved forward with that. So with that, I want to thank you all for your attention.
Thank you. And are your colleagues who worked with you, or some of them, here today?
They're back there.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now,
well, very quick, you were like, I got to get through this. I can't get away from you.
Just want to let Bob present the information.
Well, exit here?
He didn't feel like it. It looked like he was like wanting to be there.
All right. Well, we are busy over at the Bureau, so. Next up, we have invited testimony, correct? PSC Commissioner Chris Smith to summarize the Planning and Sustainability Commission's recommended draft. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record, even though I... Yeah, welcome back, Chris. Can't get enough of this place. Unlike Eric. Please state your name for the record, even though I just said it five times.
Good morning. Chris Smith, member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, presenting the PSC recommendation.
Good morning, Chris.
A few things I'd like to highlight. First is our excitement at including the two transit projects in PED-PDX. These are important projects for our ongoing goals of modal shift within the city, and it's great to include these in the TSP. I want to highlight a couple conversations that happened during our briefing process, don't actually show up in formal motions, but I think they're important. One was around privacy. There is language in this TSP update about how we treat and anonymize user data for things like scooters and other modes that are starting to throw off a lot of data. We talked about how that reconciles with the privacy standards that have been created through our open data and smart cities initiatives, and there's work happening at that intersection, and we just want to highlight that and encourage that work to continue. Bob also touched on the autonomous vehicle section, and that was an important conversation, I think, because during the three stages of TSP development that we completed as part of the comp plan, we really focused on autonomy, which appeared to be the big technical innovation coming down the road. Anytime you try to predict technology, you're at high risk of being wrong. We didn't see the scooters coming, but what's really happened is that between the ability of apps to locate resources, aggregate users, and then the changes in technology in batteries and motors, we have a whole new phase of micro-mobility happening. And whether that's going to look like scooters or e-bikes, there's the potential for much smaller vehicles to help move people around, and that's very complementary to our people movement strategy in the TSP. So that whole section got renamed New Mobility, and it's kind of a broader set of thinking, and I think it's important to realize that we're encompassing a bigger set of technical innovations that are happening in the marketplace. I want to talk a little bit about the bike lane on Sandy. This actually goes back to a conversation we had in the comp plan. Some of you may recall that we had adopted the Bicycle Master Plan back in 2010, didn't actually integrate it into the TSP and comp plan until the second or third update, 2017-2018. So the bikeway network there was already 7 or 8 years old, and we asked the question, things have changed. We've built some new things, other things have changed. Should we be re-examining the major city bikeway network? And staff at that time said, no, the right time to do that is when we reconcile the TSP with the regional transportation plan. So when this process started, we had a new set of faces at staff. So we reminded them of that conversation several years ago and replayed the tape and said, oh yeah, you did promise to do that. So we had a good conversation about that, and the metro model pointed to a number of segments that should be added to the major city bikeway, including Foster Boulevard, which we've done a modest round of streetscape and bike improvements on, but because of its diagonal nature, is potentially a pretty important bicycle connection. It did not include Sandy, so we brought that up and noticed in particular that Sandy Boulevard has the highest available classification for walking, for transit, for automobile traffic, and for freight. But it only has the ordinary classification for bicycle movement. So we said that's really not consistent with Comp Plan Policy 9.6, which is our strategy for people movement that says the priorities are walking, biking, transit, and then motor vehicles. So we unanimously recommended to add a major city bikeway classification to Sandy. So that's why, even though it didn't show up in the metro model, it's that other diagonal connector that will be an important bike route in the future. We wanted to make sure it was appropriately classified. Two final thoughts. One is that we knew that Southwest in Motion was in play as we were doing this. It wasn't adopted by the time we made our recommendation, but we specifically put in our letter that if Southwest in Motion gets adopted, you should include it in this update. So we're very much in favor of the amendment number one that the commissioner has proposed. And the commission as a whole wanted to highlight how important these modal changes are to our climate change strategy, reducing the amount of vehicle miles traveled, reducing the greenhouse gases. So these are all important steps forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. That is it for the presentation and invited testimony. I'm handing it back to you, Mayor.
Very good. Yeah. Do we have others signed up for either the resolution or the ordinance, 66 or 67? Yes. I'm sorry, 65 or 66?
7.
Very good.
First three, please come on up, are Terry Parker, Maggie. Sorry, Terry Parker, Maggie, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Very good. 3 minutes. Name for the record, please. The microphone slide around. And about 6 inches is the right distance. You're all pros at this, though.
Thank you for the 3 minutes. I appreciate it. My name is Terry Parker. I live in Northeast Portland. Changing the classification of Sandy Boulevard from a city bikeway to a major city bikeway is not a minor TSP update. For Northeast Portland, it's a major update that will have negative impacts on livability. Removing a full-service traffic lane to add dedicated lanes of privilege for bicyclists, which is what I understand PBOT wants to do, will significantly increase congestion, increase fuel consumption, and increase emissions. Although some drivers will disperse to other already congested routes, the plan will not reduce the number of cars. Cut-through traffic will increase. Any removal of on-street parking, possibly due to the Rose Lane project, will create a negative impact for the small and minority businesses that line Sandy and double the negative impacts on nearby residential streets. Everything will simply not fit on Sandy. It is my understanding PBOT and ODOT have a binding agreement whereby PBOT cannot make a change to a surface street that would add congestion to I-84. Since Sandy is a relief valve for I-84, in particular for Washington traffic using the I-205 Glen Jackson Bridge, PBOT cannot reduce the motor vehicle capacity on Sandy without the state being involved. Where is the necessary environmental impact statement? There has not even been a full motor vehicle count on Middle Sandy since October of 2015. Why weren't the impacted neighborhoods directly notified before the Planning Commission railroaded its Ivy Tower recommendation? Almost every time PBOT is mentioned at some of the community meetings I go to, somebody makes a comment, you can't work with PBOT anymore, or PBOT just does whatever they want. PBOT has really lost some trust with the community. In my neighborhood, ignoring objections, PBOT chose the most unsafe route for the 60s bikeway. We still would like that change. You should have all gotten a message from our neighborhood chair on that. Finally, removing traffic lanes or on-street parking are excellent reasons for taxpaying motorists to vote no on renewing the street's 10 cents a gallon gas tax. The reclassification of Sandy Boulevard as a major bikeway needs to be rejected. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, I'm going to comment on this in a general way. Since 2018, there's been a $15 tax on new bicycles. I think they should get something for their money. And also, there are a variety of ways to get people out of their cars and into public transportation. And I think we need to work on reducing the number of cars on the road by increasing the number of choices that are available for people to commute. And, you know, so it's really sad that, you know, I love these market-driven things of Uber and Lyft, and it's really sad that there have been some, you know, just like in India, as in here, there have been some attacks on women driving in those cars, and we need to make it safer for these for customers to use these market-driven, Uber and Lyft. Whether it's we have more women drivers on the road, this would be great for immigrants. You know, they've got those cars with the new $99, lease it for $99 a month. That'd be great for immigrants to for extra money or anybody else, students, seniors, to drive, to be Lyft or be Uber, and, you know, they pay $99 a month on a lease and they go around. So these are ways to reduce congestion. And also one more comment I would like to say that You know, I traveled in Mexico back in 1994, and I was amazed at how they had a market-driven system and how much less infrastructure they had in terms of their transportation. But I always, always had transportation, whether it was a colectivo, you know, which is a microbus, and you can fit like 8 people in there and they pile the bicycles and the, you know, all on top, or I'm in a cattle car or a bus. The bus drivers were always the nicest people I ever met. You know, so I believe in this. You know, the bus drivers, they're great here too, but we have this enormous behemoth and you know, all this, you know, overhead, and then we have a lousier system. So let's make it a market-driven system and, you know, get people to students, seniors, get them in the Lyfts and the Ubers, and let's make sure they have background checks and, you know, they're specialized maybe to drive women or children or students, you know, so let's make the market-driven safer and get more cars off the road.
Thank you. And Maggie, okay. I know who you are, but could you state your name for the record, please?
Maggie Portland, Homeless Town Hall.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners, Madam President, Mr. Mayor. I'm just going to take this 93-page awesome glossy brochure and completely digest it for everybody in 3 minutes. But I do want to thank Carla and the PBOT team for getting the 90 pages of the TSP electronically linked, so when people go to the agenda, there it is. Obviously, we can't be comprehensive about it. Generally, I like EIS, one that tells us that a Rose Quarter freeway expansion is insane. We have interestingly talked about the TSP without mentioning the idiocy of expanding the freeway around the Rose Quarter, hopefully because everybody's beginning to realize that is a dead, dumb idea. Thank you, Governor Brown, even, for getting on that. When we talk about intermodality, you know, some different changes are happening. We used to have a very large kind of Saudi Arabian airport canopy-styled Greyhound bus station. We don't have that anymore. There used to be a bunch of homeless people sleeping in front of it, but they got swept yesterday. And it's very hard to believe that this town gives a crap about pedestrians, because what you, through your Portland Development Condition, did is fence off with ugly, cheap chain link the covered walkway that covers people from the rain when they walk from the MAX stop to the Union Station Amtrak station. So when we look at the boots on the ground's impacts right here in the heart of downtown, there's not pedestrian sensitivity. There's anti-homeless chain link fence is more important than pedestrians. Elderly people taking their wheeled luggage back and forth from the Greyhound station were like, screw y'all, we had to fence you out into the rain because we had to fence closed the covered sidewalk. That was part of the architecture for that building. Later on, we'll have to have a conversation about that building and that lot. Sandy came up. The idea of an impact study killed off the Rose Quarter freeway expansion, I don't know what the proper tack to take is for the bike lane. The one thing I will say as an occasional bicyclist, to me, any kind of hypotenuse is very important. So we should make some way for bicycles to safely access Sandy, because as it was described, it's a diagonal cut from the Grotto into downtown. Instead of having to zigzag two sides of the triangle, you more expeditiously move along one side. I'm not always as a deep a researcher in the so-called you know, some people call it the war on cars, but the cars never die. You know, it's people that die. So I hope that we can hear from PBOT some of the facts, not just the idea that we put groovy bike lane labels on things, but we actually know why it's important to get people in bikes on that diagonal road. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks all three of you. Appreciate it.
Mayor.
Next three.
Commissioner Udaly had a comment.
Mr. Johnson, I just want to let you know that the former Greyhound station is privately owned, and the owners of that property would have had to apply for a permit and put up that fence. That wasn't something that PBOT or the city did.
Okay, I know those stations are closely linked to the Prosper Portland and the Portland Development Commission. I'm not sure, but I hadn't had a chance to look up on the maps. Thank you for your input, though, on that very much.
Thank you both.
Next three are Edith Gillis, Debbie Small and Don Buck.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for your caring and your integrity for your staff and for the Portland Department of Transportation coalescing this. And thank you, Commissioner Hardesty, for making sure that we are looking at more inclusivity and public engagement. I'm grateful for the good intentions, and I'm grateful for the progress, and I want to celebrate and support even more progress. For example, part of the community engagement is to have us go out to the communities during their hours with free transportation, free parking, child care, protection and inclusivity and translations. Overall, I'm really grateful you're putting walking, then bicycling, public transit, safety. And I'd like us to have multi-use space so that it's also pollinator pathways, greenways, and that we're prepared for the inevitable gas line explosions and the earthquakes, in which we need to have these pathways for us to be able to transport when the roads and vehicles are not accessible. Overall, I'm saying thank you, yes.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Deborah Small, and I'm here representing Southwest Trails. I'm vice president of this organization, and we have a long history of advocating for walking and bicycling in the Southwest Portland area. I am here today with two simple things. I have an ask, and then I have a statement of support. And my ask is that there have been, and I'm sorry, I'm looking specifically at the Red Electric Trail part of the TSP, and there have been two proposed, accepted, approved routes, and I am asking that both of the routes be given equal space, if you will, equally represented in the plan. And that's basically what we are asking. And so the two routes that we're talking about is the one that ends at Willamette Park. And then there is another approved route that ends at the OHSU waterfront pathway, which goes along Slavin. It's my understanding that the one that goes along Slavin is footnoted only without any kind of supporting documentation, and we would ask that both would be treated equally as you consider going forward with the project. And then my statement of support is going to be for the Slavin-Corbett route, and I'll tell you why. We do have a slide three, that basically, if you could go to slide three, please. There we go. Not three. Anyway, we have slides that show. There we go. And there, I don't see the colors. Maybe you see the colors on your screen. But there is one that's kind of like a lime peel green, and that's the Slavin. And then there's a red zigzaggy one there, and that's the one that goes from Willamette. But the one from Slavin provides better access to the public housing facilities that are close to there, which is important when we're looking at access. The walkability of the Slavin is a much easier walking than it is if we looked at the one that goes from Willamette Park. The one from Willamette Park basically is a 253-foot elevation, 8% grade. That goes for about 3,000 plus feet. The Slavin, if we're looking at the construction it needs, we're looking at just 500 to 600 feet of sustained climb with only a 43-foot elevation. So we would express our support for the Slavin, and basically that's why. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Don Buck, Commissioners and Mayor Wheeler. Basically, the reason for this is we've been told by staff it's already in the TSP. However, it's in, there's a footnote. There's been a problem with that. In 2011, when the I-5 bridge was let for bid, it was much lower numbers came in than had been expected. A regional officer of the ODOT invited two staff people from PBOT and one from Parks to potentially look at this where he would fund actually approving it. They told him, as he told me anyway, we're not interested. Why would that be if it's on the TSP? Second, when Metro was going through their planning for the Southwest Corridor, I was told that we don't have to consider the Red Electric at all because it doesn't affect us. It's at the bottom of the gully. Well, that's a huge investment to make it get there. And number two, it's not feasible, in my opinion, to build that way, even though Metro's models show huge demand for a accessible way to get into Southwest without being on Barber or Capitol Highway. So we're really saying, and we really want to see as the preferred route, the route that goes from Park Hill Drive in Nebraska to Williger, down across what's currently, we can do, well, I'll get into the pedestrian thing in a minute, but basically across the new bridge that would be built across the Himes Gully and then connect up to the Hooley Bridge via Slavin Road. And as was noted, that's really an important connection. You look at all these little zigzags, that's switchbacks. You know, that whole hillside would be basically concrete if we did what Parks is thinking is their preferred alternative. So this is a much more economical way. And in second, following up on that, we, Southwest Trails, were capable of building a pedestrian trail that would get us would get us from Slavin Road, about 700 feet of construction there. And then in addition to that, we could build short segments of trail in Portland Parks, the Himes Park. We're very experienced at doing this. We got back, as you saw in the testimony, I won't go through in detail, but a long explanation from Parks that we can't do it because of all kinds of reasons that are, in my view, total nonsense and not true nor valid. And it's the kind of thing where we can open up a pedestrian connection for a lot of people who are in the low-income areas identified on the earlier slide to show them, you know, to give them a way to walking to Hillsdale. It also just makes one more avenue where we can move forward. The thing is, in addition to that, is to make sure, because of the change in the TSP, that the current Southwest Corridor planning includes that. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And we have blue ribbons for Human Sex Trafficking Month for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The last person who signed up is Diana Gutman.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam President. Good morning, Mayor. And good morning, Council. I'm in favor of this amendment. I wanted to say thank you to the presenters, and especially providing the TSP link in the agenda items. I review that every week. And so when going through the City of Council agenda, it was really nice being able to have all the information. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. I think that the bike updates is going to be a really great thing. And even taking the extra mile for correcting the maps, that's vitally important to our city because we are a transit city, whether it is through vehicle, bikes, buses, e-scooters, e-bikes, walking, etc. We are constantly on the move as Portlanders. I really did have a question, though, for the pedestrian classification implementation. That was a little unclear to me, and so I was hoping to get a little more clarity as far as what's going into that, how that affects a pedestrian in general, and really, what is that? I've been reading through it, and I'm not understanding that. So that is my question. And then lastly, I'm listening to public testimony, and I want to acknowledge someone that was speaking about having equal attentiveness to the two pathways that are going to be updated and improved. And I think that is so, so important to have that attentiveness so that the path ways for the Willamette Park and then even for OHSU would be something safe for all Portlanders to travel on, and even people who are visiting our city will be able to enjoy that pathway just as well. And so with that said, this is going to have a lot of great things for our city. We're not done here, and I'm excited and encouraged for this presentation. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Diana, I just want you to know that PBOT staff were taking notes, and so I think they're going to have answers to your questions because they were listening intently and writing. So appreciate you being here. And I also want to say, good for you. That's the only part of that document that you didn't understand, because there's a lot of info in that document, right?
it was a little confusing.
Yeah, so I just want to say congratulations, right, for a layperson to read through all that document and you only had the two questions that you had. I'm amazed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor. Thank you. Commissioner Daly.
I'd like to call Bob Kellett back up to the table, please. Mr.
Eric doesn't get to come up again.
Oh,
no, I'm joking.
He's like, no.
You know, I was just taking a stab at who might want to answer the issues raised by Southwest Trails advocates.
Sure, yeah. So I really want to appreciate and honor the Southwest Trails folks. They are tremendous advocates for their community, our community, and we share with them the enthusiasm, excitement for getting the Red Electric Trail built so that it serves the people of Southwest Portland and all of Portland. It's an important regional connection as well. And so the Red Electric Trail is currently in the TSP in six different segments, and it was adopted in the TSP based on the Red Electric Trail study, which PBOT and the Parks Bureau jointly did back in about 2005. And so in the TSP, the segment that was brought to your attention today, it says basically build the Red Electric Trail as referred to in this Red Electric Trail study. And so in the Red Electric Trail study, it does have a few different alternative paths for how the trail can go. The TSP isn't saying it has to be one way or the other. It's just saying we want this trail built. And so when we get to the project level, which is when we actually would build the trail, that's when those decisions would be made based on feedback from the community, what makes the most sense, financial constraints, topography, et cetera.
And there will be opportunity for public input at that time?
Yeah, absolutely. And I talked with the Parks Bureau about this issue, and they agreed that there's nothing prohibiting the trail from being built the way it's being described here.
And what's your response to the request for it to be more explicitly referred to in this document?
I don't think the TSP really is the place for that to happen, just because this is kind of the 10,000-foot view, yeah. and then the actual alignment needs to be taking place at the project level.
Okay.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for those explanations. I have to say, if you're talking about Southwest Trails, these folks are the experts, right?
No doubt.
And if they have been volunteering in their community for as many years as they've been volunteering and repairing trails, if they say to me that just having it as a footnote means that it's not at the same level as something else, I would actually really take that into consideration and figure out how to incorporate it so that it does have, so that when we're long gone, other people will look at it and say, no, these things are on equal footing. You know, I really trust these folks because they put their heart and souls into the Southwest Trails. And so I would just encourage you to figure out a way to revise it so that it clearly does reflect that both of those options are on the table. Just depends on who does what first.
Right. Thank you, Commissioner. I really do appreciate those comments as well. And it may be an issue where we don't necessarily have to revise the description of the project, but it's more how we're showing it on the maps.
That's exactly.
And
right.
So the maps are not necessarily tied to a legal requirements, more of this is a illustrative alignment, and so we could probably work to do that to show the maps in different alignments.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Commissioner Hardesty on this. I believe you are technically correct. I want to be really clear about that. I think the intent should be crystal clear now, in case it does take more than a little bit of time to actually execute. And I also just want to respect the work that, that Don and others have been doing on this.
Great. Yeah, we'll happily engage with them to make sure that that, because we agree with the intent, I think, as well. So we'll just try to do that without adding to the one central map all of the options that could be built on projects that
we
could.
We don't.
So we'll absolutely engage in that spirit that you're asking us to.
Thank you.
And there were a couple other items that they raised, right?
Yes, the last testifier had a question about pedestrian classifications and how they are implemented.
Still talking about Southwest Trails.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There were three items, right? Not just the red line?
That was the big one.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Just to touch on the pedestrian classifications. And so through PEDPDX, a pedestrian network was identified based on safety and equity and demand. And so the lines that we are proposing are implementing that. How that translates into real life, and not just TSP life, is that when a new building comes in and has to build a frontage, a sidewalk, it can impact the width of the sidewalk or the standards that are in place. In terms of bigger project, transportation projects, it gives us direction about spacing for crossings and those sort of issues as well. And so in general, the higher the level of the classification, the pedestrian classification, the wider the sidewalks, the more frequent the crossings, et cetera.
Great, thank you. Any other questions?
Commissioner Fritz, did you have any questions? Very good.
No, I don't, thank you.
Okay, I do want to wait for Commissioner Hardesty to come back, so why don't we take a 2-minute recess?
Oh, okay.
Very good.